Since the dawn of time, man has competed and relaxed. But with that comes responsibility. We go behind the pageantry and ceremony to examine these modern warriors and relaxers to bring you the real story.
From East Hollywood, the investigative capital of the world, this is UCB Sports and Leisure.
Hey, you guys, thanks for tuning in to this bonus episode of UCB Sports and Leisure featuring Eric Hoffman and Jay Johnston, two longtime funny friends, tremendous contributors to Mr. Show and various other projects. We sat down in the studio and talked about our lives, our shared pasts, and their upcoming project, Guy Suave, Homicidal Spy. Give it a listen. Welcome, Jay and Eric. I'm surprised you've never been on UCB Sports and Leisure before.
Thank you, Matt. I'm surprised.
Thank you, Matt.
Whole different podcast, just so you know. It used to be Bear Down, where we would just talk about Chicago Bears with a bunch of Chicago people. But then we just started doing characters and bits.
Ran out of stuff like episode two.
Yeah, we're not that smart about football. So.
Oh,
and
that's
It was a little niche. And so now it's just like sports... can still be sports, and then leisure covers everything. Like name a subject.
Sports,
that falls under leisure as well.
All right,
it can.
Well, then there you go.
Right, yeah.
Like literally at politics, leisure, film, leisure, food, leisure, the oceans,
yes,
leisure,
bottles,
or something, leisure.
I love it.
Isn't that amazing?
Great. I like
it's an all encompassing topic.
Yeah, if you're very non-committal about things in life, everything's leisure.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you realize how much freedom you have now?
We can cover the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, anything on the internet we can talk
about.
You
can talk about anything. Yes. That's unreal. Wow.
Yeah.
You have found a loophole in showbiz titles that has allowed you to discuss anything.
Yeah, we're experts just because of our title.
Good work.
So the reason I wanted to talk to both of you is...
Yeah, why did you call this meeting?
One, because you haven't been on my show.
Right.
And normally Scott Armstrong is here, but he's... couldn't make it, so I apologize for Scott not being here. He's my co-host.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But it's,
sorry.
It's take cooler. Care, Scott. Yeah. He'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for your concern.
I was wondering.
Absolutely.
He's fine.
I just
fine.
Didn't want to say anything.
He had apparently an appointment he couldn't shift because it was like
sounds,
oh my
big,
God.
Big shots. He's in show business.
Is he okay?
And sometimes the big shots dictate the schedule.
Right.
And if you have the meeting on the books, you can't change it if you're not a big shot.
Right.
So you're Brain Warp. Eric, you play a character named Brain Warp, which was a show back at the Annoyance Theater some 20 years ago, and you've since generated several comic books and even a pilot about this character. Guy Suave is also in the world of Brain Warp. He's basically his own Marvel universe, this Brain Warp. I played a character named Captain Lunatic.
You have several characters.
I have several characters. I play a character named Dr. Hammer and another one named Kid Thunder. And Jay... was Guy Suave.
Yes.
So this world of Brain Warp has been living in your head for many decades.
Yeah.
And you are currently undertaking what with Brain Warp?
Here's what we're doing. We're rolling out the world's first graphic novel.
That's not true.
Let me finish.
Yeah, okay. Don't pause so much, baby.
About Guy Suave.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's true.
We're funding it. You'll give some info at the end of the show about that. But this is a project that's been brewing since actually before Chicago.
So is this graphic novel on Guy Suave? So it's Guy Suave's world? He's like the centerpiece of it all?
This is actually the first.
I'm not understanding it.
Well, this is the first.
In fact, I won't buy it until I understand it.
This is the first. This is going to be, it's a trilogy.
Okay, so you're taking on. Three graphic novels. You're undertaking three graphic
it's
novels.
It's three books about one story. The first one is focusing on the character of Guy Suave.
Who is a James Bond-esque.
Exactly. He's a secret agent.
He's
the world's most insane secret agent.
Kills crazily.
Homicidal.
Yes.
Homicidal.
Okay. He has a lot of problems.
Okay.
It's gone unchecked for a while. That we have the whole history of him, how he came to be. And it's a lot of government, intrigue and...
Suspense.
So can I ask you briefly, how did Guy Suave become so homicidal? Was it his home life or was it the government training he received?
Well, these are some of the things that you'll find out in the story. I don't want to give out too much, but I will say that it's because he was created
You're like Stephen King. This is
all that way.
That's right.
He was created.
That's right.
He was created.
Yes.
To be that way.
Exactly.
Can I ask a follow-up, or I don't want to...
Well, we'll see
what maybe we'll tell you after.
We'll see what it leads to.
All right. Does that mean he is a clone, or does that mean his mom and dad had sex to create the next generation of spies? Meaning his mom and dad were spies, and they had sex to create the next generation of spy.
I respectfully say neither.
All right.
He was created...
Come on. Just give me a little.
Every other word.
I don't think I can do that right.
Don't think I could either.
I can barely do two words. You know, right. But he was created. I'll just say this. He has a long lineage of famous spies.
That he comes from.
Yes.
Okay. That helps.
Yeah. But so there's three books coming in total. We're working on the first one now. I've been working on it for several years. And it is based on a lot of the stuff that we were working on in Chicago,
yeah.
Which you were a part of. Jay was a part of.
No, we were talking about our shared history earlier for a lot of our listeners. There's like 4,500 people who are going to hear this, so it's pretty cool. This is a big
test.
You're going to get what's called the UCB Sports and Leisure bump.
Wow.
In your social media cycle.
That's wonderful.
You're going to notice maybe two or three more followers
on
awesome. Your Instagrams.
Hey, I take a computer. That's going to be great.
Yeah. We welcome you all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I lived on a street called Newport, for example, in Chicago in the late 80s, let's say, early 90s.
Is that the one?
Newport and Halsted. I live with Neil McNamara and Katie McNamara.
So that's the one I know, yeah.
Yes.
I was there.
Yeah. Yes, we used to play guitar late at night, and my roommate Mark would sing The Spin Doctors for us.
And Horse with No Name.
That was the one song I could play.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
And we would do shows at The Annoyance. And you lived on Roscoe.
That's right.
Which was one street away, but you actually... I moved there from the suburbs. Right. You grew up in the city.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
On Roscoe.
That's right. Right in
Boys Town.
That's
crazy. And so you guys met at Columbia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we met at Columbia.
College? Now, yeah. Eric, you went through the mill. Eric, so I'm talking like you guys should know these legends, but they're both Mr. Show writer, performer. Jay has been on, and we'll set this all up in your intro. Jay's been on Pop's Burgers, many various things. Eric has written and performed many things. What was the movie we did together? Talent?
Talent.
You were the star of Talent?
Yeah. I was the star.
You were the star of Talent.
No.
But no, I met you at the Annoyance Theater, which would have been post-Army and post-Columbia College.
Yeah.
Correct.
Where you two met.
That's right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And you did shows together.
Yeah.
We did Norm
Mostly
Holly's...
dance contests. And
yeah,
stuff,
but... Norm Holly's... comedy workshop class.
That's,
yeah.
That's right. Norm Holly was the Second City director.
Some acting class or two.
Yeah.
And you hit it off because you were both mischievous or you both liked to party? What was the spark?
I don't
you
remember.
Respected each other's talent?
I was sober. Yeah. And
you were sober. Yeah. That's right. You didn't drink back then.
That's right. Very little respect, I think, was involved in my end anyway.
Yeah, you hadn't learned respect yet.
It was a concept that was still forming.
Yes.
But Eric taught it to me. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
After Sheldon taught it to me.
Yeah.
Sheldon man. Patinkin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come here. Give me a kiss, man.
He might have brought us together.
That's
no,
true.
No, it was, in those Norm Holly classes, which were awesome. You know, it was like a team or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone worked together, and we would do shows, I think, once a week, something like that,
yep.
in the studio theater area. So, yeah, you
you bonded. Bond over just that,
exactly.
Pulling your hair out, grueling half hour where you're trying to
get a good note from Sheldon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Your S's still sound like W's, man.
Yeah. I still remember
when
he called us out. You, of course, remember this. When he called us out after what we thought was a particularly successful performance.
Yeah.
He came backstage for some notes, that's when he did the classic stuff of J. Eric. Don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
I mean it. Don't ever. But I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I mean it.
Always.
Other performers out there, they are looking for responses, too. But I loved it.
Yeah. In his socks. Yeah. In his socks, yeah. In his dress socks and his dress shoes.
Was he the head of the comedy department?
He was
Columbia?
The chair.
The chairman.
Yeah. Of the theater.
Of the theater department. Yeah. And he was one of the founders of Second City, right?
That's correct.
Right. Him and David Shepherd or Paul Sills?
Yes.
Well, and he Sills, was also staff or whatever first season SCTV, too.
Oh, yeah. Writer?
Yep.
Yeah,
writer.
I didn't know that.
Writer or something, yeah.
So Eric and I performed at a place called the Annoyance Theater, which was on Broadway. Mick Napier created it with various other folks.
Yeah.
I got pulled into it by a guy named Ed Furman.
I was actually, yeah, my connection to them was earlier than that because we had a friend by the name of Lolly
Torres. Who directs now.
Right.
He's a very successful television
exactly.
director. Hi, Lolly, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Please say hello.
Yeah. She said, hey, you got to come by and see this Coed Prison Sluts show. And they were doing it at some club or something. Mm-hmm. Wasn't where they ended up on Broadway yet. But so that's kind of how I got introduced to that crowd. And then there was once they opened the place on Broadway, there was a midnight show. One of their first midnight shows was Dino Stamatopoulos's Trent, which was a light tragedy with music. It was billed as. So that was some of my first stuff, but the first actual show that I did as an Annoyance person, it was Mike Monterostelli and I as a team kind of coming in, and we wrote this show called Bastards.
That's right.
And then after that, I started performing in some of the other shows, and I was actually a big substitute for you when you were out of town. They would have me do a lot of your parts.
Like Hamster Man?
Hamster Man and the show Wookie Wookie.
Oh, the doctor with Scott Robinson.
Right.
So the Annoyance Theater, for people listening, was this, it was sort of in reaction to Second City, I think. Mick didn't wanted to have his own place.
And Mick
Napier.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of filthy musicals and a lot of...
Right.
A lot of musicals, mostly.
Yeah.
It was an era.
It was an era, and that's where, like, the real-life Brady Bunch came from.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
Jill Soloway and...
Stinky Onion.
Faith Soloway. Yeah, Stinky Onion King.
Yeah, somebody left the dog in the dryer.
Someone left their dog in the dryer. Right. Someone put their wife in the show was the joke title of that.
Right. They all had show joke titles.
Yeah. That was the best part of that place.
It's like,
remember the show that Joe Bill and Howard wrote? Somebody wore a mask, and it was The Order and the Flow?
Yeah, it was...
Was it the rock opera?
Bloodlines. Bloodlines.
Oh, my God.
It was a very pretentious show that was created inside our little communal group. And we were all mean to each other and also funny and also supportive. It was everything. And then they did their show, and it wasn't what they had been bragging about. It was fine. It was okay.
Yeah.
And then the joke title for that show was, because they had that phantom mask, one of the characters had a phantom mask, Half My Face is an Asshole. Which is still one of my favorite joke titles.
That's good.
And what was your first show at the Annoyance, like original show?
Nothing. I think it was just the... Bean Can, yeah.
Actually, the show that we kind of came in on after... Because Bastards, we had kind of our own group, but then we joined the group, and then we started doing Bean Can.
Yeah, and I got to do Bastards a couple times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
And one time
did you understudy Eric Hoffman?
No, I came in as the role where they would bring in different people all the time doing a monologue for an audition.
Yeah.
And I came in and did this monologue bit that Eric and I did earlier or whatever, and it was very odd. I was on these blood thinners at that point because they were supposedly painkillers, and I had a back problem. I didn't realize there were blood thinners, but as I'm doing the monologue, it's supposed to fade down and up again to show that I've been going on and on. He's supposed
hours.
To be asleep. He's supposed to be totally knocked out asleep as the auditioner. And the lights go down, and I go down on one knee, and to change in pressure of my body, my nose just, boom, started bleeding so profusely in
on
the dark.
Stage?
Yeah.
Oh.
In the dark. Lights come up, and my hand is on my face, covered in blood already covered in blood, and... The whole joint screams. I mean, it was like a magic trick.
The audience?
Yeah, it was a magic trick. And they were laughing. And I was like, oh my God, I'm bleeding, dripping off my hand.
Oh, they thought it was fake blood?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And I got up and I kept the monologue going. And I look at Eric and he's like pretending he's sleeping.
Yeah, I'm not looking at him.
You didn't
see it?
Yeah.
I'm not looking at him.
He finally opens his eyes and his eyes his lids were gone for a second behind his eyeballs. He was like, "Dang!" And oh, it was so funny. It was amazing. And I had a very difficult time convincing people it was not a trick.
Yeah.
No one believed it was real.
Yeah. I don't think I ever heard. That's crazy.
It was so much blood so quickly because my blood was as thin as booze or something. Who knows what? I don't know.
I did a show with a live chicken there. That's the
one. Really? What show was that?
It was called Duragamuffin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I would the premise of the show, which Ed Furman and I, because a lot of the shows there were developed through improvisation. Most of them. Like Bastards, you guys wrote it.
We wrote it, yeah.
And Bean Cam was like our late night sketch show, which I love. We would just kind of come up with written sketches or half a premise.
Yeah,
just,
half written, half.
That was the most formative thing in my life to that point.
Yeah.
As far as like writing and just, you know, commitment and all these things that I still use today with, just working, you know, just like the way that you would work with people there.
Because
we had to do a new show every week, and it was generally the last day right before the show, we'd come up with our sketches, and you had to learn structure and how people wanted to get to the end of their sketch and their blows and their cadence and the timing. I mean, people would allow people to just sit there and not, you know, roast or anything, but just take their time.
Yeah.
And it was pretty wild, except when a few different individuals were on lights who had just cut it off right away.
Jimmy
as someone took a breath, it was like out.
Yeah.
But once
it was kind of like figuring out the bit, because a lot of them were half written and we knew the bit was.
Yeah.
I forget. I can't even remember a single sketch to give an example.
Sometime I'll have to bring. I've got a stack of the old.
Yeah, Dweeb.
I got a stack of the old running orders.
Yeah.
Just all these crazy names.
Or Grandpa Wiggly. Scott had a pipe.
A long cap toy or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you didn't really know what was funny, but you knew somehow the pipe was going to be funny. So everybody was just trying to figure it out on its feet, basically.
Totally. Yeah. And sometimes you could rehearse for 2 minutes, and other times you were just like, yeah, see you out there.
Yeah.
You know, and try to remember what the hell the end of the scene is.
Well, the thing is, too, is you come in, you know, if you were lucky, you'd be memorized on a couple of scenes you wrote with a couple of people. You'd get together and rehearse, but then you show up the night of the thing, and there's like two or three other people asking you to be in things too.
That's true.
So then it's like, oh my God.
And then the other thing at True Annoyance Style is you would often do three shows a night, and Bean Cam would be your fourth show.
Right.
Right, right.
So you'd do like Coed and Your Butt and Wookie Wookie. These are all like musicals, 8, 10, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you didn't have time to rehearse, and then somebody would grab you and say, just come in when I say banana, and you're waiting on stage.
Yeah.
It was such fun.
It was.
But
it was
really so ambitious. Like,
it's not, you couldn't keep that tempo up for forever.
No.
Right.
And you want to be singular. If you could be focused, like, those shows could have been better, but we just didn't have time.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't rehearse them during the week. It was
it sort of killed something to do that, because to rein in all these people who are in every direction, you know, it didn't seem to work. I mean, I remember the frustration that you would have trying to have a huge cast in a show and trying to get everyone together for rehearsal, including me. I'd never opened my trailer. I lived in a trailer. it was certainly that one thing about it, the energy was so awesome because the audience was like always built in because of the previous shows.
Yeah.
And we're doing like new material that we just, you know, I mean, that was just incredible.
But that's where we first, actually, that's where kind of all the graphic novel we're talking about, some of that stuff kind of started in Bean Can as some sketches. Or actually, you know, some of that stuff for me started back in high school, but then I kind of brought a few of those ideas over there to the Annoyance. But it started doing, it was Jay and Mike Monterostelli and doing these two characters called Pinky and Chili.
Pinky and Chili.
I don't know if you ever saw that one. It's classic. And, you know, they're just these two nuts that are trying to, you know, rob a bank or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they just have an insane process. It's kind of Marx Brothers-y and, you know.
Yeah, they like share one brain cell, basically.
Exactly.
Fighting over it the entire scene.
So they'd done a couple of sketches with these guys, and we finally did one. They said, let's bring in this old Brain Warp character where they kind of meet this guy.
Yeah.
And then that.
Now, when you say this old Brain Warp character, had Brain Warp performed or did he premiere in Bean Can, like his appearance? Do you remember?
That was the first time that it was done.
on stage
in Chicago. It was some first time it'd been done since high school for me. I did these.
Oh, like, Brain Warp existed in high school.
I did these Super 8 films.
Yeah, he was. They forbade him to do it in Indiana.
Oh, he got.
Yeah, that's why he moved to
Indiana,
Chicago.
Yeah.
Subversive. Yeah,
that's right.
Comedy. But they, it was in high school. I came up with these things. We did these. I have a bunch of like Super 8 films, and you know they're just goofy and all that. I hadn't really focused on stuff yet.
Can't imagine.
And did some comic books and all that. But then once we got there, it felt like, you know, because we were. It's that thing where you throw everything you have in your experience out there because you got to do a new show this week.
Yeah, right.
So everything becomes, you know,
fodder
up for whatever. So that's where it started. But then, yeah, we started doing it in Bean Can. And then because of that, I think Ed Furman had said, hey, why don't we do a show with these characters?
Mm-hmm.
And then
came the big resounding no.
We got the no from Jay. Jay had actually, you I think had moved.
Yeah, I was at Second City.
You were at Second City at that time. So we weren't seeing as much of you.
You were already
there.
Touring.
Yeah.
Green Co.?
That's right. Thank you very much, Greenco.
Teresa Mulligan in your
that's
crew?
That's right. Yep.
Nice.
Brian Stack, Keckner. Yep.
Miriam?
Brian Stack, Miriam.
Isn't that great? I love dating people by their tour crews. That's a good crew.
Yeah.
That is.
Awesome. That's Finn.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. And Staswick and John Tees and Tracy Thorpe.
Wow.
Yeah.
These are great, great talents, all of them.
Yep. Susie Nakamura.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Horatio Sanz.
He was in Greenco for a while?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was in Redco with me later.
Ah, well,
he came
I didn't
over
mean
later.
To say he was part of Greenco. I was just saying he passed through our door.
It's okay. Yeah, it's all good.
We trained him in everything he knows.
That's interesting. So you got into Second City pretty early because you were
60s.
There.
Yeah.
No, I was
Mina Kolb and Severn Darden were your roommates.
Oh, man. Crazy times. I was one. Yeah, it was, I guess, just after Columbia. So I just, on a whim, I never wanted to be in comedy. I was just doing, like, dramatic stuff at Columbia and then started goofing off with these bozos.
Dingleberries.
In Comedy Workshop and then started, just on a, you know, fluke, did the Second City audition and did that class and then auditioned for the, whatchamacallit?
Touring company.
Touring company, yeah.
And got in.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, that's really interesting. So then my introduction to Brain Warp was that show that you put together with Ed.
Yeah.
And we were improvising stuff.
Yeah.
And it was all comic book. I wasn't a comic book kid like you were. Were you a comic book kid? I wasn't.
No, I was straight.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Whatever that means.
Yeah,
I liked Archie comic books. Like I liked jokes. I didn't like or I didn't understand.
Archie was all right.
Yeah. He was so.
Yeah, I you know, Richie Rich also had some cool things about his personality.
Yeah.
Like how big his diamonds
were.
Huey,
Dewey, and Louie, and Scrooge McDuck. That's
more
my speed, yeah.
Oh, you're into the sort
but
of
But you
dramatic.
Must have picked up a Batman or something here and there.
It didn't penetrate.
It's too fancy.
It didn't penetrate my world.
Fancy.
I want fun
I
stuff.
Wish I was like a nerd, a comic book nerd and stuff, because I admire people who...
Know how much that's worth now?
Know how much it's worth. And also, I think it gives you a sense of like, I don't know, a lot of good directors grew up on comic books, like the graphic novel
and the
visuals of it all. I think it's a neat skill.
Yeah.
They know how to be alone in the room. That's what it gives you a sense of, you know?
Yeah. I guess so.
Right.
Yeah.
No matter where you are, you're kind of like under your covers with the flashlight.
Yeah.
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 So yeah, he called or you came in and started. We started doing these rehearsals,
just connecting it to Brain Warp. That's all. Yeah, and so I did Kid Thunder and Captain Lunatic.
Yeah,
Captain
Lunatic.
Lunatic
is
was
that...
Fingerball the second show.
It was the third.
It was the third show. Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
there's many iterations of Brain Warp. This is important to get right. This is the history. We're going to call this episode
Culture.
The History of Brain Warp, please.
Yeah. We're putting this down.
Okay.
So it's resolved. The Brain Warp, the original Brain Warp show, is the only Annoyance show, I think, up to that point, who had had a sequel and a prequel. So that's something.
Ground. Yeah, you broke ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to say that the Fingerball, we did that show live. Mike Myers came and saw it, and then Austin Powers came out like a year later.
Well, let's get to that in a second. I'm not sure about that, if that's true or not.
Yeah,
I just want to start a scam.
He paid attention.
But there was, Jay was asked, or, you know, we of course wanted him to be in that Brainwarp show, but he was busy with Second City. And then we did, and then Fingerball was the Guy Suave show,
yeah, mm-hmm.
which was a prequel to that, right, because we had right set right. it up that Guy Suave used to be Brainwarp, or no, Brainwarp used to be Guy
right,
Suave.
Right, right.
Brainwarp used to be Guy Suave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Do you remember that in the opening things, there was like a slideshow?
It's a little technical how it actually happened, but go ahead.
There was an origin of Brainwarp. Remember that?
Right, but they exist. Can't they? So they never exist in the same universe?
Well, they can, yes. But
if Brainwarp used to be Guy Suave, how do they exist in the same universe?
It's called bending dimensions.
My other memory of you lads is when I landed in L.A. So when did you come to L.A.?
94
ballpark. 94
About 2 days after the earthquake. Yeah,
he was out here early. Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy cats and jammer kids!
I didn't know anybody yeah. except Andy Dick, and mm. I didn't know anybody.
We still don't know.
I minus new people. Yeah.
I knew Andy Dick in Chicago too. I was in a group with him briefly.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Department of Works or
oh yeah
the $2
here.
Show.
Oh yes, I remember yes. a picture of that. Yeah.
Yes. When I landed in L.A. full-time in 2004-ish,
wow,
I was hanging with you boys because we used to play Halo late night at your yep. girlfriend's house.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
And we'd have like 12. You would, I wouldn't do anything.
16
I would just,
and 16.
I would just get high yeah. and like get killed.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it was a lot of fun.
It was oh, yeah. so fun.
Yeah, 16 yeah. people in the living room, 16 in the dining room,
yeah.
and two TVs with quad splits on them. So,
so yeah. fun, though.
It was
yeah.
awesome.
It was yeah. a great place to land because I didn't know anyone really. I knew Andy Dick in L.A., but that
yeah.
was it,
yeah. yeah.
which means I didn't know anyone.
Exactly.
And I just kind of broken up my ex-girlfriend, so I just come to L.A. on my own, and that's where I picked up cigarette smoking, though. That's the bad
well,
side
oh,
of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, come on.
I blame.
You look, I mean, you're one of
those.
I
blame you guys.
You really look cool.
Thank you.
No, I mean, some
now?
People don't. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It really
because you even when I was smoking.
Because oh. you did that earlier.
Right, yeah, because that. We know that.
I didn't then. Smoke in Chicago or New York. I didn't start that's, smoking until I
didn't
came
smoke
to
anything
LA.
In,
that's so funny.
Oh, I mean tobacco. I'm
well, I know,
about.
I know. I'm just trying to. Yeah, I guess no. I don't remember.
I was not a smoker in Chicago or New York.
Hmm. Well,
never.
Welcome
cared for
to
it.
The most inconvenient place on the planet to smoke.
Yeah.
After they did the thing in '99, where it's like no more cigarettes in anywhere.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
what? At least it's nice to stand outside, though.
Yeah, but that was the most time I spent in the uncovered Jeeps with you, or the
right.
driving around, getting like burritos at 4 a.m,
right.
or going to yeah. your Echo Park home
yeah,
and
yeah.
doing another round of Halo
yeah.
yeah,
with just four of us.
My goodness.
But that was like my landing in L.A.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Those are my memories of...
And when we did... Maybe this is before you moved here, but we did... was it Rock Out Cafe?
Oh.
Yeah.
That? Yeah, that's right. And Pat,
yes.
Pat was there.
Yep. That was at the Center for Inquiry, the Steve Allen Theater.
That's where we did our final show.
It
wasn't, but we,
it was the first one was at
where was the first one?
At the
the fake gallery.
Because fake, that's it.
Fake
oh my
gallery.
God, you have a better memory
Heliotrope,
than me.
Yeah.
On Melrose.
And you were Etrick.
Yeah, Etrick.
Etrick.
Yeah.
A doorman who was a foreigner?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a show about being a waiter.
Yeah, or working in the restaurant.
In a sports
yes.
bar.
In
sports
a sports
club.
Bar, yes.
Yeah.
Which some version of later became... a short-lived show I had called Players. So I think I'm also glossing over a big sort of inspirational moment for me is you guys were part of the Mr. Show movement. So when I give me the span of Mr. Show when like you started working on it, because you came second or third season, Eric.
I was in fourth season.
Fourth season.
Yeah
I was second season because the
so
first
what,
season was four episodes.
Okay.
And Bob and David were doing testing. Things like shows mm-hmm. at the Upfront Comedy down in Santa Monica. They would do little sketch shows every couple months or whatever to, you know, see if the sketches they were going to do in the first run were going to be seaworthy and rewrite and stuff. So I did a few of those shows, and I think I saw the first one that they did or something. And I know what it was. I invited them to see... Paul Tompkins and myself, mm-hmm. The Skates. We did the show called The Skates, and it was a sketch comedy thing. And it was funny because it was kind of the exact same format as their show. We would do a live scene on stage, and then we'd go backstage and change into our next fabulous outfit. Mm-hmm. And during that time, a video would play just to keep the energy going, mm-hmm. Also with our characters, and it would be everything was connected, sort of. And then we found out Bob and David were doing a similar thing, and I knew Bob, just his name, really, and Second City connection, whatever, so I pestered him a bit. And David, I knew through Dino. I met him once and thought he was a bit of a jerk. And then just had, you know, bothered them, come to the show. And they came and saw it. And Bob said, took me to lunch like the next day and said, yeah, if we get picked up for a new season, you guys are first in line as writers. And I was just like, bleh. So I was totally knocked out because I got to do a little bit, a couple little bits on their first four episodes. The swearing commercial thing and some cop role, of course.
Yeah.
And it was just, I thought it was just the most amazing show.
That's the Cat's Pajamas, because that was the sketch show. Like, I was a sketch guy, and I don't think UCB had a show yet when they were starting to break. So I loved Mr. Show.
No, you did your show before them, yeah. I think.
All right, whatever.
Wasn't it in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean on television.
Oh, yes.
We were performing in Chicago at that point, but they were like...
That's right.
Kind of heroes in that whole movement, and Bob and Dave. Sure. And I remember going to see tapings like when you were there, and maybe you were there already. Like
I think you and I were there together.
Yeah.
I tried not to talk to you guys. I hope that's
cool. Well, you're a big shot. You're part of the show.
Yeah.
I'm friends with these guys. Yeah.
I was trying
to,
you know, make some fans.
Yeah.
Happy.
But that was really an exciting time, too, like, because that was like, I don't know. That was like the show to be on for me, in my mind, because I'm such a sketch nerd.
No, I
and that was like
believe,
so exciting.
Could not believe it. It was. I still can't.
But and their tapings were awesome because they were like going to a live show. It was like going to a show. Like
yeah.
It was, and that's how they put it together. So.
And then the reboot for Netflix, Dave and Bob, or Bob and Dave?
Bob and Dave.
That was super fun, right? For you guys
with Bob and David? Yeah.
With Bob and David. Right. Yeah. Excuse me. Not Mr. Show.
No.
Right,
no.
Yeah.
Nothing like Mr. Show.
Nothing.
Completely
no.
new
no,
thing.
Oh, yeah.
But that was really fun. I thought that was really
thank
solid,
you. Yeah,
too.
That was a lot
cool.
Of fun.
Thanks.
Yeah. That was a really big relaunch.
But I'm trying to think of the first show that I saw you in at Annoyance.
I don't know. Probably Co-Ed Prison Sluts was the first show I did. Which
I may have seen you in that, but you know, it might have been Wookiee.
Wookiee.
Yeah. It might have been Wookiee.
That was the first show I got to improvise to fruition. Create.
Right.
Yes. The process of that.
And I think I missed this because I was listening so intently, but Trent was, did you do Trent a little bit or no?
No.
Ever? No.
That was Dino's show?
That was.
No, was that at The Annoyance or no?
It was.
It was Corrine and McCann and
oh
you
my gosh.
Starring
me,
it.
Yeah. And it was.
I never saw that.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, it was. You may not have been there yet because it was just after they opened, and it was like the first midnight show that they did there.
Just on Broadway there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't remember.
I was not there yet.
Really?
I don't remember.
Oh, Victor Victoria, the old Victor Victoria?
Yeah.
Yes, the drag bar.
That's right.
That's
your hood.
Yeah. My entree into The Annoyance was going in there and going in the bathroom and fixing all of the urinals.
Oh, you were.
One of the oldest gay bars in Chicago.
Oof.
Yeah. Oof is... the understatement of the century.
Rats,
fixing
et cetera.
Urinals. Not just the part where the water comes out either.
Yeah.
Part where all the stuff.
The U traps.
Yeah.
The J traps. No offense to me, but.
Sorry.
Yeah. And the P traps, literally.
Yeah.
And the semen traps, apparently.
That's rough stuff.
I don't know why, but a lot of my semen was in there. I know that.
So you must have been there before.
No. I just did that to get. Keep my mind
get
off of things.
The day.
If you could just think of your own, you don't have to think of someone
that's
else's.
That's right. That was one of the most hideous things I've ever experienced.
Yeah, that was a rough place, but a cool venue.
And it didn't give me the street cred I'd expected. I thought, you know what? It may be that no one ever touches me in this place, ever.
Yeah.
Who wants to do a scene with the guy that fixed all the urinals?
Well, you want to keep that quiet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else, Eric and Jay? This has been lovely to catch up. I think we documented the evolution of Brain Warp pretty well.
I think we did okay.
Titillated the fans.
We might need a few follow-up episodes.
Graphic. Anytime
maybe
you guys want to come
novel.
On.
Huh? Yeah. Maybe a graphic novel.
Well, we're going to promote the graphic novel.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, so you don't have to take notes. we'll have things to, good idea, Jay. Thank you.
Jay, good idea, good Jay. Idea. Sorry, right I on. Didn't thank you.
No, that's all right. I did you, myself. Jay. I don't know if you heard me, but.
Thank you, Jay.
Well, it's getting a little bit repetitive, but yes, you're absolutely welcome, truly.
And to say on record that Bob's Burgers is probably one of my favorite shows on television.
Oh, wonderful.
You're a big part of that show. So.
Yeah.
I'm a little starstruck.
Oh, well, Jimmy
Pesto.
Understand.
Meeting Jimmy Pesto.
Jimmy Pesto. Yeah. She's coming to my restaurant sometime.
I will.
Zoom.
Nailed it. All right.
Cool.
Thanks again for listening to UCB Sports and Leisure. If you guys want to reach out to us on a social media platform, find us at UCBSL. And special thanks to Eric Hoffman and Jay Johnston. And if you guys want to contribute to Guy Suave, Homicidal Spy, check out the page on our website or go to GoFundMe and search Guy Suave, Homicidal Spy. Thanks again to Cody Ziegler and Scott Armstrong. Peace.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.